And Bucker
down the sideline, touchdown,
and he looks the other way and it's intercepted.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
Inside the five, Watkins to the end zone.
Brought to you by 7th Street Casino and GEHA Insurance.
And it's Williams with another touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. After your Kansas City Chiefs pull out a victory.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Over the Minnesota Vikings. A 44-yard field goal for Harrison Butker in the closing seconds as Matt Moore and your Chiefs find a way to knock off the Vikings in a game they probably should have never been in. They win by 3 points, improve to 6-3 on the season. The Arrowhead Pride postgame show is presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. Call us 913-576-7610. You can hit us on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line 69306. A game you never should have won. You pulled it out, Jay Binkley.
No, they really did. This Vikings team was no joke. This is a good win for the Kansas City Chiefs. It is a win where they had, 60% of the fans were Vikings. We'll get to that because that's embarrassing. But the Chiefs get a win for Matt Moore. And this is imperative. And I know people are, hitting us up and the play calling. No, this play calling was fine. This Minnesota Vikings defense was good. Their defense was good. The Chiefs put a game plan together. They played physical football, and they did it for 4 quarters. It wasn't one of these, surprise second quarter. They put it for 4 quarters. Chris Jones was the man-child today. He's been missed for this Kansas City Chiefs team. Now, when the team starts getting healthier, look for this team to go on quite a run.
We talked about just how good the Chiefs' skill position players are. I mean, you look, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce.
They stepped up.
Today, I thought Kelce came out of the gate and was a reliable target for Matt Moore. Matt Moore today, fumbling aside, which got a little weird at the end, was outstanding. He connected with Tyreek Hill on a number of deep balls, in stride, incredible. 6 receptions for 140 yards, 3 big passes to Tyreek Hill, including the touchdown, including the final catch there for 13 yards that put Harrison Butker in a great position to hit a 44-yard field goal. And, Jay, I don't know if you felt like this about Harrison Butker, but I didn't feel like I always was comfortable with him in this type of spot, but he proved me wrong twice today. A 54-yarder to tie it, and then a 44-yarder minutes apart to win the football game.
Especially taking that 14-yard loss. This would be a lot closer field goal for Harrison Butker. He came through that thing good for at least 57, 58 yards the way it went through. But Matt Moore was tough. He had a little bit of the problems there at the end with the ball security.
Right.
And I think that's a real thing right there. But it was about just getting the win. And you know why Matt Moore's here. This is why he's here. He's gritty. He understands the playbook. This is why Andy Reid trusted him. And they needed to get a win. They needed to either beat the Packers, which they almost did. They need to beat the Vikings. Just keep the team afloat. Now they have a 3-game lead in this division. Just keep the team afloat until Pat Mahomes can come back. And gradually, the Chiefs will improve in various areas when guys start getting healthy. You saw the first of that today with Chris Jones. But I'll tell you this. They ran the ball effectively, and I know 91 yards was on one run with Damien Williams. I felt they were playing tough physical football. They were kind of winning the line of scrimmage against the Vikings, which are very good up front, both offensively and defensively. And like you said, guys stepped up. Travis Kelce, 4 for 8 last week. 8 targets, 4 catches, 7 for 9 today. You make those close catches. Guys needed to step up for Matt Moore. Tyreek Hill continues to step up. 6 catches, 140 yards. But Travis Kelce stepped up. Damien Williams stepped up. This is what you have to do if Matt Moore starting.
How about the Chiefs?
And he was good, too. He made 2 great throws to Tyreek Hill with hands in his face.
Sure.
He stood in the pocket. A lot of quarterbacks melt down there. He stood. He took the hit. He knew he was going to get hit, and he delivered the football. A lot of props to Matt Moore for being tough in this game.
To me, too, the Chiefs' defense simply outstanding today against a really good offense, and the Chiefs needed the defense to step up and hold down that end of the bargain.
Best game.
They were good in coverage.
Yeah, Denver was good.
And you know what? It ended up with a 26-23 victory for your Kansas City Chiefs. If you want to get involved, 913-576-7610. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you were out at the stadium today. Let's take the first call. Chester, how's it going?
Oh, this is excellent. Destiny bound, let no man take your crown. When you're in close games, how do you close it out? The fourth quarter, making clutch plays, defense attitude, offense attitude, pulling for one another, special teams, the kicking, everybody united together because there's a destiny. Oh, this is what it's all about. You know, this is how you grow, develop, grit and nasty, close games, you know, in the hunt to make a statement. And when you get your identity, and when people get healed, you make more of a statement. You're talking about who motivates the motivator. Is the great ones playing out of the pay grade or the least paid playing out of the pay? No, we have each other. And this time I can say the machine, the cleaning machine, the agitation is up.
Winning machine, Chester, winning machine.
Cleaning and winning machine is getting the, keeping the clothes up and clean.
That's right.
This is what it's all about. This is what you yell for. This is what you live for. This is what you make your money worth in different things. Payday, paycheck, pay grade, and everybody's involved. You're putting the KC in KC. This is what it's all about. We can see our direction. We know our destiny. Getting everybody involved. Can't wait for the next game. And getting the people healthy. God bless them. Keep up the good work. Another victory for the coach that got over 200. And this is what it's all about. We can celebrate together. God bless you.
Thank you for the call, Chester. Obviously very excited. The way this final drive worked, you were in field goal range or right about, and then Matt Moore takes that terrible sack, loses 10 yards, but a pass to Travis Kelce for 17. Another pass to Tyreek Hill after the weird Minnesota timeout for 13, and all of a sudden you're within 44 yards, and Harrison Butker steps up to the plate.
A 44-yard attempt to win it for Kansas City. Harrison Butker trying to be the hero.
Now, it might have been 50%, 60% Vikings fans, but the way that crowd sounded, you could never tell, at least on the radio, courtesy of CBS.
Which shocks me. This is the Super Bowl favorite in the preseason. The Chiefs are leading their division by 3 games.
Right.
But I can see the Chiefs going on the road. They bring a lot of people on the road, but at home, there are Viking fans everywhere. You cannot throw a rock without hitting a Vikings fan in town this week. They go home 6 hours away, unhappy with that performance, which I'm glad to see. The Denver game, let me rephrase that. The Denver game was impressive defensively, no doubt about it. 9 sacks in that game. But this Vikings team is different than that. The Broncos quit in that game. This Vikings team was feeling themselves.
Well, the Broncos aren't even a playoff team.
I know. This Vikings team had won 4 straight. They had the NFC Offensive Player of the Month in Kirk Cousins. Third best rushing team in the NFL, 160 yards a game. NFL's leading rusher in Dalvin Cook. The prescription was there. The Chiefs had to step up, try to wade the waters, get that W, so we don't have to look and reference when the last time they lost four games at Arrowhead. Glad that stat's out of the window, so we don't have to look it up. But they need to get this W until Mahomes comes back. I felt this was a gut check. Been talking about the gut check all week. Protein now, see with the purpose text line, 69306, calls it gut check. Yeah, those that need to step up do. Travis Kelce, after the last game, was upset with himself. Some of the drops. You know, he's going to be relied on to come up with consistent plays. He did. Tyreek Hill was simply amazing today. Several times for the Chiefs, including catching Damian Williams. The only guy on that field to catch Damian Williams was Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, incredible. Quick correction on the courtesy. That was from Fox, the call with Harrison Butker hitting the 44-yarder. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Reggie from Anaheim, what's going on?
Hey, man, so I'll keep this short and sweet. Shout out to the defense, man. I'm officially ready to buy in on this Chiefs defense. The last 3 games, they've played tough. They've played complimentary football. They've played downhill. The tackling has been good for the most part. Getting Chris Jones back has been key. I think they're starting to gel. I think they're starting to figure out, who they are, and they're applying a lot of pressure. And I think that I haven't looked at the stats yet, but they might have held Dalvin Cook under 100 yards rushing today.
So 71 yards, Reggie. Significantly.
Yeah, so, yeah, if you had if you had told me they would keep him under 100, man, like I would have checked to see if you were smoking some of that Cali good. But the last thing I wanted to say was I think I'm ready for Damian Williams to take over the running back spot full time.
Right.
The Shady McCoy experiment was cute. but I'm ready for him to go back to the bench, and I'm ready to elevate Darwin Thompson over him. And I think you roll with Damian Williams. I think you roll with Darwin Thompson because I still think Darwin Thompson is your most explosive running back that you have on the roster. But great job all around, man. We get that win, and then we gain a game on the Colts. So everybody have a nice Sunday, man. I'll talk to y'all later.
Good call, Reggie. Darwin Thompson inactive today for the Chiefs, so the Chiefs brass do not see it, or Andy Reid does not see it as the explosive player that I think a lot of us do or saw in St. Joe. The other thing, too, the Chiefs 4 penalties today, 3 last week. That's 7 in the last 2 weeks. We're talking about a team that had 22 in 2 straight games earlier this season, but 7 penalties the last 2 weeks, I think key for the Kansas City Chiefs, showing a lot more discipline on football. And the other thing, too, is that identity. That identity was starting to show itself about this defense. People have been talking about this identity, and I like that. I like talking about it. Do they have an identity? Because the Vikings were talking about this. Nationally, they were talking about it. Zimmer was asked about it this week. Kirk Cousins asked about it this week. Do the Chiefs have a newfound identity on defense? It was one that was about putting pressure. Cousins asked a lot about pressure. He's very good with pressure, but asked a lot about that question, the Chiefs' relentless, aggressive style. I felt the Vikings counterbalanced that a little bit with the screen passes, where they did have some success throwing the running backs out of the backfield, which continues to be an Achilles heel for the Kansas City Chiefs. But they were asked about that. And I didn't feel the identity was there against Green Bay because you let them run the ball at the end of the game. They had the ball for 5 minutes, took your soul, backed on the 1 yard line, and only had Aaron Rodgers throw the football once as they ran. That's why I wasn't completely sold. You have to put it together for 4 quarters. I was impressed with this defense today. And are they finding a new identity? Yeah, I think they are. I think this defense is finding a new identity. I was waiting for them to put 4 quarters together. Saw that today, the way they shut down this Vikings running game. I think it's fair to say an identity was starting to go in the last couple of weeks. I think today you put the nail in the coffin. The identity has been set, at least to this point.
Yeah, thank you, Reggie, for the call. And something he pointed out is that Dalvin Cook was held for 116 yards from scrimmage today. And I think if you're a Chiefs fan coming into this game, if you could say yards from scrimmage for Dalvin Cook, a guy who puts up near 200 most weeks or is capable of doing that, you sign up for 116 yards. That's a good job. And you notice some of the adjustments of the Vikings in the second half with some of these screens. Eventually, the Chiefs were able to figure it out and manage to find a way to win this football game. And it is becoming a part of the identity for the Chiefs defense, where it's aggressive and you don't know where the pressure is coming from. You don't know when they're going to blitz. You don't know who they're going to blitz with. You're finally getting, I think, what they've been talking about. It felt like lip service for a long time. Oh, they just need to play together. Oh, they just need to play together. They just need time in the system. Well, I think you're starting to see the fruits of what Steve Spagnuolo has been talking about for weeks and weeks.
And Matt Moore was clutch. A couple throws with the hands in the face. I think he showed some toughness, albeit he got away with a few there at the end. Right. You know, dropping the football, bad ball security. There's at least 3 where the Vikings were blitzing that he kind of dropped the football. I mean, once he's like, when Harrison Smith blitzed, he like just dropped the football but showed toughness. I felt the Chiefs showed overall toughness today. And Derek Nottie's been showing flashes at times in the run game. I love the way he's pushing linemen around,
right,
making the play on the other side of the line. Ogbah continues to be a good player. He likes me, hates you, Pete, as we've talked to him in the locker room. Yeah, he gives me full answers, gives you little short answers,
right,
but he's showing up to play.
Yeah, I don't know why he dislikes me, but I like him.
I don't know.
So maybe it's a one-sided relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Matt Moore, though, and yes, I think at the end of the game, you can get a little nitpicky and say you got to be more careful with the football. Well, if things are go right for the Chiefs, Moore's tenure as a player this year should pretty much be over if everything goes right. I think Patrick Mahomes will start next week. What do you want from your backup? You want them to hold down the fort. So there were 2 starts for Matt Moore. I think everybody would have taken 1-1. He was able to get the job done today against a really good Vikings team that probably makes the playoffs.
Who's your backup going forward, Moore or Henny?
I think it has to be Moore.
I'm with you on that.
Because
the hot hand. You're right,
You've seen it recently.
Ask her back.
I think it just, unfortunately, and maybe the Chiefs end up carrying.
Or Gannon.
Right. Maybe the Chiefs end up carrying 3 quarterbacks here the rest of the way, and I wouldn't blame them for that. Moore doing an outstanding job. The Arrowhead Pride postgame show presented by 7th Street Casino. Get in touch with us, 69306. It's the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line, 913-576-7610. Albert, what's on your mind? Albert, you there?
Hey, I'm here. One thing that I noticed is before Mahomes went down, when we were the more talented team, a lot of the little things didn't, and we lost, there was a lot of the little things that didn't go our way, drop passes, penalties, and turnovers. However, when Mahomes did go down and we were the less talented team, those things didn't go our way also, and that would result in a loss. When you're the less talented team, you need those little things to go your way. And while we did have the turnover today, we didn't have the penalties, we didn't have the drops, and you did see those things from the Vikings, which I think really contributed.
Well, we did have the very costly turnover with Hardman on the return where it set the Vikings up at the 38-yard line. But one thing for the Chiefs is we saw them kind of play a little bit like they should play, and I'm talking about long, extended drives. Probably my favorite drive of the game resulted in a field goal, a 24-yarder by Harrison Butker. The Chiefs went 17 plays the second quarter. They go 17 plays, 85 yards, but they took almost 9 minutes off the clock.
There was a fourth down conversion in them?
Yeah, yeah. It took almost 9 minutes off the clock. It resulted in a 24-yard field goal, but that's good. You keep the Vikings, who did come into this game as the third-best yards from scrimmage team on offense in the NFL, the fifth-best defense. The Chiefs haven't played a team with the kind of balance they saw today with the Minnesota Vikings. Thielen tried to get a go at the beginning. I think he's an added weapon for him. But you know what? The Chiefs have a ton of injuries, and again, injuries aren't an excuse. But one thing we saw, Pete, is the Chiefs finally stepped up. You know, they've been relying on Mahomes. I've been saying this. They've been relying on Mahomes to bail them out, whether it's offensively, defensively, the penalties, the play calling. And this goes from Andy Reid to the rest of the players. They've relied too much on Pat Mahomes. Pat wasn't walking through that door. Other guys had to step up, and I thought finally they did.
Yeah, I think you have a point there, you know, to an extent. I do think unless you have a franchise quarterback, you're not winning the Super Bowl anyway. So in a sense, you do have to rely on Patrick Mahomes. That being said, it did feel like the Chiefs simply couldn't win a game without him.
Imagine everybody stepping up with Pat Mahomes. Imagine the defense stepping up and being viable with Patrick Mahomes. Imagine that combination of elite quarterback and defense playing like they did today. Pat Mahomes hasn't seen good defense. And I'm not going to chart out his high school numbers like I like doing. Even though he scored 60 and 56 his last 2 years in high school in the playoffs and lost. Had a terrible defense at Texas Tech, the worst in the nation. He hasn't had a defense. Step up for Pat Mahomes. Put two and two together.
And really step up for your season. I talked about just winning football games in general. Just win the game. Because you never know what's going to happen. We'll go to Pittsburgh today, where the Indianapolis Colts, we talked about how they're going to be a threat to potentially get that number two seed from you. Brissett goes down, and all of a sudden Hoyer's in the game, and he's not able to come up with the victory, 26-24 final in Pittsburgh, and now all of a sudden you're going to get Patrick Mahomes back, and everything is right in front of you. You may not be able to get the number one seed because of the way the New England Patriots defense is playing, and Tom Brady's holding down the fort.
Could suffer an L tonight, though.
Exactly. You don't know what's going to happen, so just take care of business. Matt Moore comes in for two games, is able to go 1-1, really 2-1 if you consider the rest of that Thursday night football game. And good on him to be able to do what you have a backup there to do, and that's hold down the fort while you're waiting for your starter to get back. Dan and KCK, what's on your mind?
Hi, Pete. Hi, Bing. Well, that was a great game. Great winning field goal by Harrison Butker and great defense by the Chiefs to hold Delvin Cook. And forget Delvin Cook. How about Stephon Diggs? One carry for 12 yards. That was great. Let's take our time. See you later, guys.
Not only the one carry for 12 yards, Stephon Diggs, four targets, but only the one reception for 4 yards. The play that stands out in my mind is Tre'Davious Ward. Talked to him this week. He says, I'm really gaining confidence now. Week after week, I'm feeling better and better about it. We actually had the opportunity to talk to Sam Madison this week, who reaffirmed everything that Tre'Davious Ward said. And it's not just lip service. I said that before. You saw it against one of the better receivers over the past few weeks in the National Football League, playing Diggs really well today.
No, he did. Tre'Davious Ward deserves some attention, some credit for the way he played today. I thought it was a solid play. The way he was manning up, the way he was going for the football. Tre'Davious Ward's turned a corner. And I know he's often criticized at times, but this secondary has been good. They only get better with a better pass rush, which they've been able to develop, which only helped these guys even further. Even though they were playing well, you do have to take some of that back because teams are or have been able to run against the Kansas City Chiefs. But overall, I'm just impressed with their hit-him-in-the-mouth style. The Chiefs have been ran over and hit in the mouth on defense at times. Today, I felt like they stepped up and became the assertive team.
And this is some big news out of the postgame presser. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid said there are no new injuries to report. So not only do you get the win for the first time in as long as you can remember.
It's Burrow Gruden. No, knock on wood if you're with me, Pete.
No new injuries to report. It's huge when you get Patrick Mahomes back and everyone is playing this well, defense included. Finally, the skill positions. You have Sammy, Travis, and Tyreek all together. Tyreek looks like an all-pro for sure. I think Next Gen Stats said on that Damian Williams 91-yard run, he was faster from scrimmage than he ever was before. He's healthy, ready to go.
And there's been some arguments about that between Next Gen Stats and Joseph Potts, who hit me up. But the other two were on kick returns.
Right, right. But point being, everything is starting to peak after the halfway point. How many times in the past do we sometimes feel, shoot, the Chiefs peak a little too early? This is starting to feel like, okay, now you can get some steam going. There are seven games left. You get some steam going, and you ride right into the playoffs with your MVP quarterback. Luke from North Kansas City, what's on your mind?
Hey, Luke. Hey, Bink, you know me.
Hello.
So, just question, that last caller, does he also work as an auctioneer?
Who, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I had an auction, I'd have Dan.
You could have a side business.
I'd have Dan and Chester.
Yeah. So I was just wanting to say, I think that your Summer of Spags thing was like really on point. Because
that's Pete's deal, yeah.
I think that really there was a lot of work to undo with, you know, with all the things that Bob Sutton left. And so now you're starting to see the fruits of Spags' labor because, you know, like he had to get the guys thinking in a different mindset, different formations. Now you're actually seeing kind of the fruits, and we're peaking at a good time too. Like, you know, we're playing better now on defense, and Mahomes is going to come back. Obviously, Tyreek is 100% healthy because he was actually back there trying to catch punts, and yeah, as a byproduct, they were losing 20 yards like they were last year. So I'm really happy with this win.
This team did not even have Franklin. Great call. And by the way, I'm not your father, Luke. Luke calls my night show a lot and asks if I'm
your
father.
Because
I went to school with his mom.
By the way, have you guys seen Reed on the videos yet of getting into the locker room?
No,
I don't think I've ever seen Andy Reid that jacked or yoked up.
Dude, before. He was jacked up when Buckner hit not the game-winning field goal, hit that 54-yarder. You should have seen how animated he was.
Yeah, he's excited. If you haven't seen it online, man, it's a sight to see.
What you said is important, and I remember Lil J used to say this as well, as far as finding your momentum, you know, at the turn, finding that momentum. You might have your rough stretch, but you got to be able to close. You know, you got to get stronger. I wish the Chiefs would take Arrowhead back and make it that place it was. It's not that place when you're overrun by that many fans. It's not. It's not.
It really did appear that tickets were sold to Vikings.
The skull chant was incredibly annoying. I can't imagine if I was at the game, and please tell us if you're there, that had to have been annoying. See people do the skull chants. Not only that, you got to hold your beer because they put their arms way out when they do that skull chant. Can spill your beer, very annoying.
Yeah, I can't imagine being next to a Vikings fan who knocks my beer over with a skull chant. The Chiefs win 26-23. If you want to get in touch with us, talk to myself and Jay Binkley and Dusty Likens back there, 913-576-7610. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. We're going to keep it going for the next 2 hours or so. Get in touch with us. It's the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino. Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. Get in touch with us, 913-576-7610, or call us on the Protein House, Eat with Purpose, text line 69306. The Chiefs coming away with an improbable victory, 26-23. Matt Moore beats Kirk Cousins, who I think was a little bit of a version of bad Kirk today. We got a dose of bad Kirk when we needed it.
Well, he's been that way this year. There were Thielen complaining, Diggs maybe wanted to trade. There's been a lot of drama with that team, but they were feeling themselves. 1-4 straight, they're feeling good. Everything was fine. The Vikings fans were buying into it. They were driving down here, buying tickets, going to all the barbecue restaurants, having a lot of fun. Enjoy your ride home, Viking fans. Enjoy.
This is from the Protein House, Eat with a purpose.
He come to Royals. He's come to Royals.
Everybody
they
loves
like
Kansas
it here.
City.
But I think anyone Minnesota visits, people like it more.
Anyone who visits Kansas City loves it.
The economy definitely appreciates them because they've been great for the Royals, too.
From the 913, Arrowhead not like the 90s crowd. From the 417, Arrowhead's mystique has been killed by TV timeouts. This in from Next Gen Stats. Harrison Butker's 54-yard game-tying field goal late in the fourth quarter was the most improbable attempt of his NFL career. 48.3% make probability, finishes with 4-for-4 field goals, including the 44-yard game winner. Let's keep it going on the phone lines. Kyle, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Kyle.
I just wanted to say go Chiefs Kingdom. Say that defense still got to be hungry. They can't overhype it. Let's keep it going. We've only had two straight games. I'm not trying to talk it down or nothing like that, but let's keep this going. I think we can do it. I think we can keep on leaning. I want to see Mahomes back after the bye, to be honest with you. Give him a little more time, but I think we can do it. I think Matt Moore can handle it, especially with Tennessee coming up and in San Diego. I think we can get her done. Go Chiefs. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle, for the call. The reality is he's coming back next week. I mean, that just is what it is. Everything you hear points in that direction. He looked fantastic today. He looks to be at least close to 100%. I imagine he practices this week, and then you ultimately get a reveal from the Chiefs on Friday that he will be the starter against the Titans.
Not only that, but this tweet by Jay Glazer, who's really on top of things and knows a lot of sources, he said the reason Mahomes isn't playing today, this is what he said before the game, Doc told him he had a 40% chance of re-dislocating kneecap inside of 21 days, but does go down to 10 to 15% after 21 days. Today is 17 days. So it significantly goes, 40% is pretty high rate. 40%, when you're about stats or next gen, 40% for your kneecap, possibly re-dislocated, going down to 10 to 15% after 21 days, and it'll be blowing way past that for the Titans game. But those are numbers to consider. He wanted to get back the night he did it in Denver. And as far as his defense stepping up the last two games, you could say they stepped up in the last three, yeah. Although they didn't put four quarters together against Green Bay. But this has been a trend for more than just 2 weeks.
Right. And more than anything else, I just think for a while, and I'm in the locker room and at the pressers every day during the week, it seemed like, I don't want to say excuses, but it just seemed like kicking the can down to the stream. You know, like, let's just kick the can down the road until we get to the end of the season. At what point is the defense finally going to click? You're talking about it. When's it going to happen? You're finally seeing a trend. Okay, I can see what Spags was talking about in training camp. You're starting to see it. You're seeing the aggressiveness. You're seeing the unique looks. You're seeing the blitzes. I love the way the defense looks. Talk about a season. This is a 16-game season, right? What do you want? You want to be clicking at the right time. You need the defense to be chugging along, and you need Patrick Mahomes to come back, and you need all your pieces to be healthy and be chugging along and meet in the middle for what? The playoffs. And I think you're headed in that direction right now. It's a good time to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Not only that, but what Spags is dealing with. Chris Jones' last game was October the 6th against the Colts. It's November.
And he clearly today proved he is your best player, yeah. Your most important defensive player.
And he did it without Frank Clark and Alex Okafor today, too. So he's not exactly been dealing with the full deck when he's putting this defense together. By the way, from Harold R. Kuntz from Fox 4, Ogbah said that when he heard the Skull chant, it was pissing him off. Not the only one.
Yeah, you and Ogbah, I got to say.
Very tight.
We were in the locker room, and we were doing a two-on-one interview, and he didn't really care for my questions. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to admit that.
Well, they were bad questions.
And it seemed like after the interview that he would maybe give you a hug if you wanted one. And that's neither here nor there. Good game by Ogbah. So it's all right. It's all right. Mike, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good win. Quick question. I know Damian Williams came into camp. I know he was a little banged up, got in the doghouse, a little overweight. I think McCoy's past is gone. In the past, I understand how elusive McCoy is, but we can't continue to give him the ball and he's not finishing runs. I've noticed in short yard situations, he gets hit, his legs go limp. It's not the McCoy of old that where he at least dives forward. Have you guys heard anything about utilizing Darrell Williams more in short yardage situations? Because McCoy just doesn't have it. I'm tired of him just given up. He's given up on runs. He's not finishing runs.
Yeah, our own Steven Cerda said he could be seen on the sideline after he came out. 3 carries for 9 yards. He was on the stationary bike. Whereas you have Damian Williams, 12 carries for 125 yards, 1 touchdown. But, of course, that's spearheaded by the 91-yard touchdown where he made 3 quick moves, looked very shifty on the play, reminded you of that preseason. I think it was the only run of the preseason. Where
he had one run, he had the one wheel yard. I'm just saying, take it with caution, though. He did have 11 carries for 34 yards at about 3 yards a clip before that one run. So take it with a grain of salt. You can't take the 91-yard run out, tied Jamaal Charles, franchise high, but 34 carries on 11 yards. Let's just be cautious, you know, with granting people and giving people that title. To me, I'd like to see more Darwin Thompson, but he must be doing something that Andy's just not sold on.
What was odd is that running backs coach Dylan McCullough said we should expect more from Thompson soon this past week. They do let you talk to the assistants once in a while. He came up and said, you got to see this guy in practice. He's performing really well. We actually had a package for him last week. So my expectation was, hey, more Darwin Thompson this week. But you didn't see that. Damian Williams really had a breakout game. I think coming into this game, he only had 100 rushing yards. So he eclipses that for the whole part of the season. He had an injury. He was out a game or two here. So Damian Williams, I think, one of your stars of the day. You get that 91-yard touchdown. It ties Jamaal Charles for the longest run for scoring Chiefs history. That put the Chiefs up 17-16 in the third quarter. As the rest of the game played out, they would need more points than that. You, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey.
First of all, I said a while ago that we shouldn't really expect much from the defense until the end of October. And look, we're at the end of October. So now we see a little bit more of Spags getting what he wants done, and then the players also adapting to all of that. And Collin Saunders is really kind of blooming right in front of our eyes, and right. I really, really like that. I'm glad we got the win. I didn't expect to win this game, so, hey, a win's a win, and go Chiefs.
Something Collin Saunders told me, and grateful for the call, by the way, something Collin Saunders told me was that, you know, the first few weeks he was inactive, third-round pick for Brett Veach. First few weeks he was inactive, and he wasn't ready. But you have an injury. That's how the NFL works. How many times have we seen it, Jay, where guys are fortunate to be in their position, and you don't want the Chris Jones injury, but what did that lead to? Collin Saunders probably getting in way before he was ready to do so, and you're seeing where I think, like you've seen with Juan Thornhill, you catch up to the speed of the game, and then you could see, okay, this is the player that the Kansas City Chiefs drafted.
Yeah, I thought Collin Saunders played well, and I think he's been playing well. He even had that passes defended, too. You know, the arms up. He's not the tallest of guys, but he had that passes defended, which I think is an extremely important stat. That's why Ogbah actually has more than those than Chris Jones. It's something he does. But he's been playing well, and this guy's got kind of a chip on his shoulder. You know, don't let the nice guy did some flips at Western Illinois fool you.
Right.
He had to show out
the Senior Bowl flips.
Well, the Senior Bowl, he had to showcase himself because people didn't want to buy into 1AA talent. And he was doing against Division I talent, and he really shot up. If the Senior Bowl helped anybody, it was Collin Saunders. I could see why the Chiefs took a chance on him. But again, he's just 6 foot. You know, he's not 6'2", 6'3". He batted a ball down today, and I thought an extremely important time. But he's showing some shiftiness on that defensive line, moving around, getting into the gap, and doing some things. And I think that Derek Nnadi had a good game, too. Push him to the outside. But again, you're without Clark. And you're without Alex Okafor, so you're relying on Ogbah to step up, which he did, which he's continuing to do for this team. And you're asking Tanyo Passanio, that's had really, obviously the best year of his career. It's not even close. But you're forcing him to the outside to set that edge. But it all starts with what you're doing in the middle. Teams will gash you and take your soul away from you by running up the middle. Nnadi and Collin Saunders needed to step up in the day they did.
Yeah.
Even Pinnell stepped up. For the Chiefs. I don't know who he is, but he stepped up for him early on.
Right. He signed with the Chiefs recently, kind of just a guy off the street that they ended up bringing aboard. And I think today you truly saw just how valuable of a player Chris Jones is. Comes into the game, and you see how he pushes the offensive lineman right into Kirk Cousins, the Chiefs' only sack of the day. He registered 2 quarterback hits, 1 tackle for loss, 3 combined tackles, 2 of them solo. Chris Jones, You notice just how much the Chiefs missed what Jones has to offer. And You know, Frank Clark, he has to get healthy now. He's got the neck injury. Arian Rapoport said he might have gone today. Some kind of a game-time decision. Ultimately doesn't play. What you get is Chris Jones back, and you really, truly realize, okay, this is the Chiefs' most important defensive piece. It'll be nice to have Clark back. Don't get me
Clark's
wrong.
Clark's good, but the rest but of these defensive
need
ends.
You need Jones.
Yeah, I mean, Okafor is stepping up. Ogba stepped up. Right. Okafor didn't play today.
Tanner, you got Emmanuel Ogba, by the way, for Eric Murray.
Exactly. These defensive ends were a Spags type. This is the type that he likes. The size, the height, the weight, everything is almost prototypical. It's almost like the Rockettes. You've got to be a certain size in New York before you do the leg kicks, Pete. I know you've been wanting to do this, but you have to be a certain size. To do this, got this. And defensive ends have been playing well at setting that edge. And this is what he wants. And I don't know if Frank Clark and these guys, don't sleep on Ogba. I mean, this guy's quietly having a real nice season.
The Chiefs coming.
Leads his team in sacks.
The Chiefs coming away with the 26-23 victory. Here was Chiefs head coach Andy Reid after the game.
All right. So no injuries to report. Hey, my hat goes off to Bucker for those last two field goals. That last one was as clutch as you can get. And our defense, I just thought, stepped up, had a beautiful day, great game plan, and they executed well. Offensive line buckled down and did a nice job, which helped the running backs, and it helped our quarterback. I thought Matt, that was a gutsy performance now by him, and utilized his receivers. I thought he did a good job with that. Special teams, we had a couple nice returns there. Can learn from a couple of them, but I had a couple there that were very good. But field position became a big part of it. We dang near gave it away at the end, but we kind of hung on to bring it back to where we needed to get that field goal. So anyways, with that, time's yours.
Specifically on Stephon Diggs and the run catch, what was working well for you guys in that match?
Yeah, so listen, I'm proud of our defense for continuing to work and get better. And so one of the objectives was to get better every week and a goal there. And they've done that. Some of the young guys are growing up, and they've got a great quarterback and great skilled position players. And I thought our guys really buckled down and did a nice job again, challenged them. And then guys up front, my hat goes off to them for the pressure that they were able to get there at the end on the quarterback.
Coach, you've answered a lot of questions this season about the run defense. And then we'll add a whole of the team after the three, four,
what's giving you confidence about the whole process? Yeah, so, he's a great running back and the best right now going. And so he, our guys buckled down. They took that challenge. And they worked hard this week to make sure they started with that but still kept their pass rush ability up and be able to cover on the drops there. So I think that's a good football team. I think Mike's done a nice job. Zimmer has done a nice job with that group. And, it's a good win. It's a good win for us, too.
You're listening to Chiefs head coach Andy Reid on 610 Sports Radio.
Can you speak to the difference-making ability of Tyreek?
Yeah, so, those are a couple big plays now. And then both he and Kel stepped up right at the end there. Those were big-time plays. That last play to get us between Kels and then Tyreek coming back, making somebody miss, getting upfield, getting down, being able to preserve some time there so we could kick it. I thought we were a bit...
Chris Jones had a win back in.
Yeah, Chris did a nice job. It's good to get him back in there. Yeah, so the longer this goes, the more we'll be able to get a few guys back in and... we'll just add them to the mix so we have a little bit more depth. It's good to have the experience some of these guys have gotten. That'll help us down the road here.
And just talk about the obvious relief that you feel getting one at home again.
Yeah, well, the crowd was phenomenal. I mean, there was a lot of purple up there, and they just voiced them out. That whole thing with the clapping over the head and all that. I thought our PA guy did a nice job of cranking up a little Arrowhead pride there, man. Yanking the music.
My guy!
And knocking that out. He just nulled that clapping deal and kind of brought us right back to home.
Could you speak to the veteran presence and poise that Matt showed on those last few drives under pressure?
Yeah, a lot of pressure. I mean, they And he's got some fire to him. You know, he's a tough kid because he took a couple licks there and he got back up and finished. But just him calming the storm, I thought was good. And that throw to Kels was big. I mean, that was, you know, weren't quite sure how that was going to go, but it worked out okay for us.
What did you see on David Williams' run?
Yeah, so I thought 77 did a great job. You know, Andrew, he came down and just kind of cleaned that side out, and it popped it. And you know, my hat goes off to him. Getting him back in there and having a block like that was big. They blitzed. I mean, it was a man coverage. And then I thought Tyreek on that play of getting down there and just walling that guy off, and only Tyreek could do that. I mean, he was the fastest guy out there, so he was able to get in position to wall him off. And and I thought that was big on that.
Wrapping up with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid.
You guys decided to put Tyreek out there for the punt returns, and they looked like effective what they wanted to do, a couple of four kicks. That's kind of the effect you want when you put him out there.
Yeah, no, that was Dave's plan, and we were hoping, you know, you hope that he gets an opportunity to catch it and return it, but if he doesn't, then the results were good results, yeah.
How close was it?
You know what? He's close, but now Ed, you got to just know that he wants to be out there every. You know, it's not his decision on this. So it was, we kind of backed up on it. I mean, we listened to the doctors and the trainers and made the decision. And if he had it his way, he would have played. You know, the next play after it happened. So that's how he's wired.
Coach Steve said that, you know, it would take maybe 4 weeks for the defense to come together. How improved, and is this what you all were looking at, you know, this defense being at this time of the year?
Yeah, so I'm not going to say a time on it, but, you know, to play, you just need to get familiar. Yeah, what he said. I know what he said, right? So, but you can see it happening. You guys are watching it. So we've got so much room to improve. We got to keep going. We're not near where we can be and will be. So. We just keep pounding it and getting better and working hard. I think that's this group's got a good mindset about them where they'll work, and they're not afraid to do that.
Last one, BJ. Richard Olsen, you've often spoken this season about margin of error, and for the second half, they felt like they were able to give the Vikings that short field. You say you learned something about your team every year throughout the course of the season. What do you think it is that you're
looking
about your team today?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to me that they worry about much on that kind of stuff. I don't hear guys moping around or this should have happened or that should have happened. I haven't seen that. Even in the losses, I didn't feel that. It was just, what can we do? Let's keep going and strike, whether it's on offense or defense or special teams. It's been that kind of group so far. So, I mean, that's a real positive thing and gives you opportunities in games like this right here. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, not a fan of the Vikings skull clap.
No, he says they take their hands, they put them on their heads. It's a skull clap, man. It's very annoying. And you know what? They can do this on their way up I-35 back to Minnesota, because I guarantee they're probably listening now in their cars, their purple wagons, listening to this stuff.
You think so?
Yeah, with their tail between their legs. I hope they had a good barbecue. I hope they tipped their waiters and waitresses while they're here, and I hope they continue to do this.
Anything for the KC economy, right?
Well, think about this.
We're hosting the draft.
You have to go back with
them,
and then you have to drive through Iowa.
Right.
Have fun.
It's not going to be much fun.
And purple's ugly.
The one part that stuck out just quickly on Andy Reid, he commented about the defense getting better every week, and I think that's just something we need to remember. We want this drastic defensive improvement. Sometimes it takes years to build defenses. We understand that the Chiefs were that close to the Super Bowl. And of course, you want everything now. What they're doing, and if they can figure it out and win along the way and figure it completely out by week 16 and game 16 and into the playoffs, and you feel really good about the defense, turning the defense over with as many new players and a completely new system, as many new coaches, and being successful within the year is impressive. I understand why fans are upset the first few weeks. I understand the demands, but you got to give credit where credit's due. This is three games in a row now where you're finally starting to see some of the moves that Veach made and Spagnuolo has implemented, and you're starting to feel, okay, maybe we have a complete team here.
They needed to step up, and they had to step up. With Mahomes out, they had to step up. Here's the one thing, though. I do feel like they were stepping up even with Mahomes playing in Denver with those 11 passes. I felt the defense had turned the page and they're being a little bit more physical and assertive. And I felt that the defense would have been good. And then Alex Okafor after the game talks about how the defense needs to step up without Pat Mahomes. That should have been the mindset from the beginning. But remember Spagnuolo. He had last year off to kind of look at things.
First year since 1980 he took off.
Yeah, and he took a year off. He went to NFL Films, he said, up there in Philadelphia, and watched and regrouped and resurfaced and thought about ways that he wanted to make some changes. Other coaches have done this, too. They take that little sabbatical, come back. He hired an all-star staff. I'm still really high on Matt House that's doing the linebackers that came over from Kentucky. I'm big on Brendan Daly. Came from the Patriots. Three rings. But he went out and put a good staff, Sam Madison, Dave Merritt, on defense as well. They put together a good staff. The Chiefs cleaned house on the defensive side with the coaching staff. And it took a while, but they were starting to turn that corner a little bit in the Denver game. But they need to step up. And again, don't always rely on Pat Mahomes. Go out there and be the people talked about. Don't be the punchline. You know, have some pride. There's some guys with some real pride, like the Honey Badger. Ton of pride. He didn't come here to be a laughing stock with his defense. And you know what? He's talked the talk and he's walking the walk.
Reed also complimented playmakers Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce before having a Freudian slip of naming his favorite website, which is Arrowhead Pride. After this break,
I don't think that's what he meant.
After this break, we will hear from Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones, thanks to our pal Steven Serta. You are listening to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
The Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by 7th Street Casino.
We're giving away.